Welcome to another episode of the Choose Your Soul Show. We are your hosts. My name's Hakeem.
My name is Alyssa.
And we are passionate about providing resources and perspective to help your GYM, and that's grow your mind with inner size. And don't get down when you get down. Just get up, get over it, and get after it. Because emotions don't come and go like the clouds, but the clouds provide shade in the rain. So have fun and have faith. You asked for flowers, and now you're mad at the rain. Speaking of rain, this week, we got a special guest who goes by Rain the Artist. Come on now. Family focused, healer, community builder, artist advocate, and motivational speaker who somehow finds ways to harmonize it all. Golly, you better put your, turn the volume to the max. You about to get it in. currently purchased some land out in Southern California. Not sure why I did that accent, but we're here today. Transformed it into an artist headquarters and event space for gathering and incubating ideas and strengthening communities. We met him a few weeks ago on the Elevate Retreat in New Orleans, y'all. Rain, what's up, man? Thank you for coming.
Outstanding intro. Come on with it.
Come on, man. Get him started,
you know? Hey. Yeah, I'm glad to be here, man. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're so excited to have you. And it was such an honor to meet you when you hosted this workshop for us. And it was such a soul-centered healing session that you held for us. And it was like, using my voice after that, I was like, okay. And doing the little singing and all that stuff. I was like, So why don't we start there? How did you get into this work? And where were you before? And how did you end up on this path?
How did I get into this work? I guess work found me. I come from I'm from Virginia, so we're deeply rooted in the church with, you know, the Southern Baptist. It wasn't so much, oh, I want to sing. I saw how happy singing made people. Like, you know, my grandmother was the youngest recorded choir director. She was like 16, 17 years old, directing a whole choir of maybe like 100 adults, you know? And so I used to sit and watch her do that and see the people walk into the church kind of angry, disgruntled, heavy from work. And then they leave choir practice like lifted, you know, and it just planted a seed. And I got into this healing work through trial and error. A lot of times we pivot on the things that we think we want. Like, you know, I started off in a whole boy band group, harmonizing, singing in the
hallway. Hey, you look like that. You look like
I did. I sang to get the girls, or at least try to. But
he can sing, y'all. We heard him in person. He can sing.
Turned into something different, man. Instead of singing for competition or singing to flirt, I started singing to heal myself and to kind of take me places, you know. Being able to vocalize has taken me all over the world. And now I'm a teacher at nature. Like, so I'm using that in a way to help people heal themselves through their own voice.
Definitely felt that during the session that you held for us, because you really had us sing it out together. And I feel like a lot of people aren't used to doing that. It does have a healing effect, though, because you can feel the resonance of the vibrations in your body, especially if it's at certain sound levels. And so a major focus of your work is bringing people through using their voices and getting into harmony with each other to create unity and community. What is the power of this sound syncing and expression through our voices?
I mean, you just said it. You said You spoke about the vibration through yourself. And like, when your body's vibrating doing this, it's happening on an inner level, a cellular level, and a physical level. So when you are shaking up, remember that clip in Jurassic Park when the Tyrannosaurus Rex was coming, the water vibrated, boom, you know? Mm-hmm. That's the same thing that's happening in your body to your blood. Your blood is shaking off the sickness. Is shaking off the stagnation. When you sing, when you vibrate, when you do it next to somebody else and you harmonize, it's medicinal, you know. It's tribal, actually. All I'm doing is recreating the wheel. This is why people in the motherland sing to let you know we're coming home from the hunt. We sing when someone has passed away. We sing to heal sickness. So it's like, this is stuff we've been doing for years, for thousands and thousands of years. And now it's taking a resurrection to, like, really with a lot of sound baths and sound bowls. That's all of that. That's what that is. It resonates to you and it just shakes some of this depression, some of that yuckiness away. And now if you focus it with a team of people doing the same thing, it has magical results.
Previously, I was telling AF that, like, some people don't like their voice. I don't know if she said it or we're talking about people not liking their voices, but we don't even hear it how other people hear it. We hear it. Mm-hmm. We hear it three ways. We hear it off the echo. We hear it, you know, up through our vocal cords into like our brain. And then we hear it through our bones. And that's the vibration through the bones, right? Is what you're talking about, vibration through the blood. And they say words, you know, paint a thousand pictures. Well, because if I say a word, you think of a picture. If you see a picture, you see that picture. If you hear a word, you see your version. So that's why it's 1,000 words or 100 million, because everybody has a different pink elephant they're going to put in their head. Ain't no two going to be alike. You tell somebody write a pink elephant, never will be two identical ones if you just tell the word. But if you tell somebody draw that picture, a lot of good artists can recreate that picture to a T. You know, so words are, I think, are more impactful, but they're also more fragile. You know, they can be misinterpreted very easily. And I think that's what's happening now, especially with the overload.
What happens when you sing, we take those same words and you put them to song, like
right.
Vibration.
Now you're talking about
vibration. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that I'm 100% there with what you said.
Yeah, I can't sing, but I could talk, and that's, you know, and I can flow. And that's, I think that's a big part of my gift. My whole family's musicians. I didn't play music, and I, you know, did the rapping thing back in the days, but, you know.
Are you a rapper back in the day?
Listen, everybody was, man, in college. And what? Come on, man.
Come on. Give me a high 60. Give me a high 60.
He's about to drop an album. He's going to drop an album.
I told you. I'm going to drop a whole thing. Give you a high 16. I'll give you one. You know, the gut and the mind were combined when we developed in the womb until it was separated by your spine. That's why they say trust your gut. That's why you get butterflies in your stomach. It's the internal compass. Happy gut, happy mind. All consumption. The leading cause of disease, mental health, and suicide, what you're doing. And I'm not just talking about what you eat, what you drink, what you smoke. It's what you're watching, who you're listening to, who you follow when you scroll, who you poke, who you stroke. It's how the crib smell. Do it smell like old folks and artichokes? Our first line of defense is to filter our senses, because it would be senseless to leave them defenseless when the overall consensus is to convince us that there's consequences to being authentic. What you doing? Come on now. Listen, I'll drop it on you.
Choose yourself, Apple. Coming soon.
Yourself.
Come on. I love it. See, that's the energy right there. And I felt like it don't matter if you feel comfortable singing or like you make sounds with the words, and your enthusiasm is your song. So like when a person talks about something they're excited about, they talk about their passion. There's harmony and vocalization, there's enunciations coming out, and it vibrates and it hits you, and then all of a sudden you're excited for them. Oh, what, you know?
Yo, shit, I'm coming.
So yeah, exactly. So a lot of people have since we get to this digital world, we're posting what we think we're saying. We have lost the molecular value and the vibration of speaking enthusiasm into our dreams. I go from speaking it. Speak a dream, sing your dream, make a song of your voice talking about how amazing it is to feel this new home that I just purchased, blah, 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 and just listen to it. You know, it's really some science behind it.
Yeah, I push that a lot in my membership and people that I work with. It's like you can think about what you want all the time, but it's like think, say, feel. You want to do all of them. You have to have the feeling. The feeling is the secret. So if you're thinking about what you want, it makes it resonate more when you speak it too, because you can feel it. Every cell in your body is listening to the words that you're saying, and then it vibrates in your body. And so it makes you more confident to take the actions towards whatever your dream is. Because if you're just thinking about it, like, that's one thing. And of course, that's where it all starts. But when you start speaking it, especially in present tense, then the sound travels and it like makes your body want to carry. So it carries you to it.
Think, say what?
Think, speak, feel.
Speak.
Think it, speak it, feel it.
Feel it. Ooh, don't sing it.
Well, I think about it too, like singing in the car, like I'm not a great singer, but when I do sing, it makes me more confident in whatever I'm doing, or it really changes how you're feeling in your day too, even if it's just a random song. Bonus points if you are listening to some sort of high frequency music, but
think it, speak it, feel it. Yo, that's how I pull myself out. I talk about this all the time. It's the reason I created the Choose Yourself community. When I was in my dark place, I had to figure out how to stop sleeping till 2 to go bartend at 5. Then when I joined my uncle in the liquor company, I had to start being up at 9. So I had to drive back 5 hours in my wake up time. I've been sleeping till 2 for, you know, last year. And so I would play motivational videos on my pillow while I was supposed to be awake. And at some point, something David Goggins or Eric Thomas would say would click in my head, and I would just get up and I'd be ready for the day. Like, oh, I ain't no bitch. He said, if you a bitch, you sleeping on your family, you ain't fucking getting no money, you ain't got what you want, you just sleeping. I'm like, oh, shit, damn. And I felt that through word, right? Then that inspired me to want to do that for others. Then I immediately tried to think about what would people want to hear? What are people struggling with? So I started with the things I was struggling with, and I would be speaking to my camera about waking up on time, finishing all your tasks, eating healthy.
You're talking to yourself, but you
and I wasn't doing that shit yet. I wasn't doing that yet though. I was still, I'd be working Tuesday to Thursday and then I'd be out all weekend and I come back the next week. Mm. Every week I feel more and more guilty doing that shit. So eventually I'd have to feel that shit. You feel the guilt. And then I made the CYC for people to be able to go somewhere and make claims to people who care, because a lot of people don't have family who gives a fuck. You tell your family you're about to do something, they're like, go ahead, there's no accountability. They don't even talk about it next week. Some of your friends don't even want you to grow, but they don't want to support you. And so the CYC was the way I use content. I let people use Choose Yourself community to make claims and grow in there. And then hopefully flare up your integrity once you start lying to yourself.
Add motivational speaking to yourself. I get it. I receive it. I think most motivating people are people who have endured the struggle themselves and they find tools to pull themselves out. And this has been something I use this, the whole singing thing. And there's a whole history behind this. And I'm actually going to put it in my book, and I'm doing like a 7-piece episode called I Conversations. I've always had the, moving out to LA and Hollywood. And I did the whole artist, pick me thing. A lot of it with music as well. It's a big scene here in LA. And I had to deal with some like disappointment, having situations where opportunity was right there knocking. Maybe I was too self-conscious, maybe I was too much of a perfectionist, like sitting in rooms with Dr. Dre and knowing that, this man could literally do this with my singing career and not feeling that I was good enough. And then having to deal with that depression of, okay, here I am in a scenario, this musical messiah guy can literally say, yeah, that guy. And the next thing you have a career for the next 20 years, and then dealing with depression of feeling like, okay, well, he wants a rapper. What do I do with that depression? What do I do with, I stopped singing for years after that. And I can't say that I was depressed, but I definitely was. I was neglecting my gift. And when you neglect your gift, there's consequences and repercussions. Your gift will fight back. It will find its way out, even in the dark places. So singing and songwriting to get signed is a different vibration than singing to teach people how to heal themselves with their voices. And that's how it came out. I fought through my inadequacies. And it's like, I don't even want to use the depression, because I wasn't depressed, because I went on and did other things. I went, all right, well, Forget singing for a while, because this one person said he wasn't into my art. So let me go off and do all this other stuff. But I was really deflecting. And I know that, I feel so weird. Oh, because you haven't sung in 6 months, bro. I stopped even singing to myself, like even in the shower. It's just sometimes you feel like you fly too close to the sun. Your wings get burnt and now you're a penguin. Now you're a bird. You're still a bird, but you just... you walk by, you know what I'm saying?
Wingless. Wingless ducks. You ever see those?
Wingless, who gives a duck? Duck this. I wanted to find a way to get back to my voice. And like you said, you found healing of yourself by speaking out to others. And then you realize, oh, now I'm putting it out to the world. I got to be accountable. I can't just be saying this. And then people see me come home at 2 o'clock and not being up. I have to be in integrity.
It took like 2 years though to give people perspective. It wasn't overnight,
Yeah. What's 2 years compared to the rest of your life? It's worth it.
Come on, man.
I think this is important to go back to what you said. It's just one person that wasn't reciprocal to your gift, even though he didn't even say that it wasn't good. It just wasn't the type of art he was looking for because he wanted a rapper. Mm-hmm. So that didn't mean that your singing wasn't good, but it wasn't the type that he was looking for. But you took that and internalized it. And so I think if you're a listener, just understand that sometimes when you're rejected, it's not that you're not necessarily good enough. It's just they're looking for a different thing, and that's okay. So you kind of put these limitations on yourself. How did you work yourself out of that? How did you overcome that? And how did you get yourself back to singing? Like, what pushed you to come back to this and then create this?
Alcohol. No, I try to self-medicate. I'm not a big drinker, not a big smoker. I got one of those voices that you can like tell when I'm not taking care of it. Community. I got around people who were doing things that I admired, and I just offered support. It's not that let me get in and be partners. Like, nah, bro, I'll go volunteer at something that looks promising and looks like I have gifts, and I'll give my time and I won't ask for any money just because I know that it's healing me. I will go down and they have this thing, Skid Row in LA, where it's like really, unfortunate, unhoused people. And every Wednesday, this lady, Tiffany Rose, she started this organization, My Friend's House. And this woman has been feeding the homeless, the hungry, not homeless, but ever since I've been in LA, so it's been like, you know, over a decade plus, it was always there for me. So every week, if you chose to go serve, and then I noticed that through my service and through my volunteer work, I became, see the value in how beautiful my life was. I was like, bro, what are you tripping about? Mm-hmm. Okay, why? Get up, do the thing, get back to it. And then I found myself going down to get roll and I end up singing. I had everybody. So it's like, oh, the gift found its way out. I was like, mm-hmm. You know, the gift will always find its way to the surface. Now, you know, you don't want to wait too late to where your ability to do it. Like if you're an amazing basketball player, you don't wait till your 80s to start shooting around again. But, you know, the gift will find its way back to the surface. And I think that's what happened. And just service and volunteer work. I would find other things. It wasn't just feeding the homeless. You know, I have a lot of entrepreneur friends. And during this time, a lot of my friends were like, you know, building businesses. And so I had, you know, I got a little bit of carpentry work. I'm a renaissance man. So I have a lot of abilities and skills that I could aid and help people who I feel that I can support. So, you know, pay it forward, it'll come back to me. Maybe not from that exact person, but it would come back to me. And then that got me out of my depression. I was healing myself. Yeah, I was healing myself through being of service.
I love that. Environment is everything. Especially like you said, getting around other people who are doing things. It's like, okay, you feel more empowered to do things as opposed to being around people just living the same life for 40 years of their life or whatever, and they have no big goals or visions. And you're like, oh, well, am I dreaming too big? And it makes you get in your head and like, you don't want to talk to people about it. But if you're around people who are already doing it, you know, no one doing more than you is ever going to judge you for trying something new. You know, it's always people doing less or people that don't want to get out of their comfort zone. They're like, oh, why are you doing that? That's weird, or judging you for it. And it's like, if someone's judging you, then they're not doing shit with their life. So take it with a grain of salt. You know?
that sound like a personal thing. That sound like, yeah, the way you said that, that sound like your eyes glazed over and you started looking. Is that you have a real life experience?
No, I actually have really supportive people in my life. Like all my friends and family are really supportive, but I've worked with people who get stuck in their shells because they're people they're surrounded with will judge them. And I'm like, no, like fuck what they're saying to you. Just come on, follow me, please come with me. Mm-hmm, so it's like pulling people out of that head and that environment. It's like, these people are going to maybe judge you at first, but forget them, and then they're going to ask you how you did it once you succeed, right?
Oh yeah, they always. You sometimes you got to go get the golden egg, and then come back, and then they're like, "Oh, show me how." You got to build the platform and do the thing, and now it's like, I've always supported you. What? You know? Well, yeah,
then they start talking about how they know you. Oh, I went back to school. He was at. You weren't even talking.
You remember me?
I have experienced that where people didn't really like judge me to my face when I started entrepreneurship. But now that I have Source Junkie, you know, almost a million followers, I'm doing all these things. I quit my full-time job. I did have people later, like years later, 5-6 years after I started, like, wow, I'm really impressed by what you've done. I didn't think you could make it. Like years later coming to me, even though they didn't say shit to my face at the beginning, but it's like, you will inspire people that you think you never will. If you just keep going and don't give up, because the only way you're going to fail on your dream is if you quit, you know, like just don't give up. It's going to come. If you just keep the vision, you will get there eventually.
Hey. And you don't have to try to inspire people. You don't have to. If you don't know what to pursue, pursue yourself, and you will inspire others to do the same. And that right there is selling feelings. There ain't no price on that.
Message.
A lot of the work you do does guide people through finding their purpose and their sense of identity. So how does your work help people do that?
Well, my work is based on EI, elemental intelligence. I don't know if you guys remember doing a workshop. I had you choose what element that you identify with. This is something that I came up with about 6 years ago. It was like, even before the pandemic, I would spend a lot of time in nature and just sourcing information. You know, I'm not one of those hippity dippity, but I get it. You know, I'll hug a tree. I'll ground and walk barefoot because I can literally feel the advantages of it. But I really didn't delve into it as much as I felt like I wanted to until my ayahuasca journey helped me understand the power of elemental intelligence. I went to the Bayou Retreat Institute in the middle of nowhere, in the mountains. And I just really fully understood the inner workings of these five, you know, the water, you know, fire, air, earth, and, you know, these elements that you could see varied dimensions of them, and everywhere you go, you know, with waters and waves, and it's a raindrop, a tiny raindrop. It's a stream. It's a waterfall. It's all these variations. It's a cup of ice, you know, these different forms. And I started seeing those reflections in my friends and family members. You like an ice cube. You like ice cold. Oh, you, man, you move like a, she deep dance like a stream, man. Oh man, you here come Teddy. He's a typhoon. You know, there's energy that reflects. I started to just jot things down. There's variations, and even with fire, and you know, fire isn't just fire. It's different. It's this warmth. It's passion. It's a match. It's a forest fire. It's a fireplace. It's a fire pit. It's the same heat that warms your cup of coffee. It's the same heat that burned down Chicago in the 40s. You know, it's the same thing. It's just a lot of varied versions of it. So the more you understand the elements, the more you understand yourself. And if you identify as air, it's like, okay, when are you a calming breeze? And when are you choosing to be a hurricane? You're going to blow shit down. This type of work is more self-informative, and it grows your understanding. Instead of saying, oh, me, the way I break down here are my triggers. Like, no, simplify. Break it down to a simplest form, the elements, you know, and you can change from time to time. And it's not your zodiac, it's your zodiac. It's just how you feel, how you move through the world. Hakeem, you move like fire. When you're on your camera, you're talking, da da da, your voice is da da da. Yakety yak, don't talk back. You know, you're in there, it's like, you can feel the fire coming through the phone. You know what I'm saying? It's really like, it makes you stop and listen, you know, if anything, you know what I'm saying? It's like, so like you get to vary that fire from this flamethrower to when you're like isolating in the gym, isolating muscles. It's like, I need a nice, warm, you know, so I don't need the fire. You don't need all that in the gym. You just need a nice constant flame. My work helps break things down artistically, creatively, and spiritually to a simplest form so that you can digest it and use it throughout your day. You know, that's my life's work. And if it comes through song, if it comes through meditation, it comes through a joke or two, because you notice I wasn't trying not to be funny. My humor is part of my life. I really dislike these people who feel like they have to be a certain way when they're in the spiritual, you know, and they have to kind of talk with the one. It's like, bro, be yourself. Do the things you do. Stop, you know, stop with the woo-woo. Like, talk to me straight. I promise you, I'll follow you, but like, don't give me the rigor mode, the yogi's language, you know, namaste. Nah, I'm going to go because I don't feel like you, I don't feel like you being real with me. That's where I'm at with it. I feel like that's the work is going to, it's speaking for itself.
No matter what method you use, you got to break it down. You got to break yourself down and get to a point where you can accept the acceptance part and the ability to detach from whatever you expected. I said something the other day, Tiger Woods was aiming for the green, got it on the green, that would be a success. If Tiger Woods hit the same shot, but he was aiming for the hole, it'd be a failure. Nothing changed. Just what he was aiming for. If your expectations are one thing and you don't get it, this ain't your mission, fool. You just trying. You're supposed to get what you can gain from it on the journey. It's not a failure. It's an experience. And you can always grow from it. And it has to be, you know, that first. So, but you don't get to that point without breaking down all the conditioning and programming, either through one of many triggers. Your doctor could tell you, yo, you're going crazy, you know, or you could be informed about something, or you could be inspired, or you could lose something. These things, when people are like, damn, I need to start fucking choosing myself and researching. I got to start investing in myself and finding out what's going on in my head. Why am I fucking up shit in my life? You know, and I think everybody gets to that point. Some people come back through music. Some people go through fitness. Some people go through comedy. Like, a lot of all successful people in all areas have a story like that. It's the plot, kind of like flow of movies of a superhero who's a regular person and goes to superhero, then gets defeated, then has to rebuild. Yeah, that has to have to rebuild, and then he comes back and saves everybody. That's a relatable pattern for most successful people, and except people who freaking are caught up in the societal norm with sugar, liquor, weed, porn, nicotine, caffeine, fried food, processed foods, gambling, stress, addiction, you know, those. Choosing yourself is not selfish. The most selfish thing you can do is be like everybody else. That's the most selfish thing you can do.
The most selfish thing you can do is be like everyone else. Bars.
Damn, bars. That was tight. Bars. I ain't even saying that. I'm gonna have to write that down. Sure, that's bars. Tattoo.
I just wanted to mention how when you did the elemental healing in the session we did, I really loved that. And I would be curious to know, because I am into astrology like hardcore. And so I'd be curious to know what the elements that people choose, if it relates to their birth charts. But going back to what you said, it's like, if you're an air sign, how can you creatively use your intellect and your voice and your words to find your passion? If you're a water sign, how can you use your emotion and how can you feel into what it is that you love? If you're a fire sign, how can you follow your passion with excitement and leadership? And if you're an earth sign, how can you use structure and kind of softness to step into your passion? So it's like, it all just comes back to each other, really. Everything is relating to one another and it's so cool. I love thinking about that. I love noticing, like Keem, for example, he's an air sign and he has some fire in there too. So I'm like, obviously he's using his intellect and his voice a lot, because that's like an air sign is pushing that intellect through. And then his fiery rising sign is like making it. He's a Libra.
Air sign. I love hearing about this shit, because yeah. I wasn't into it really until we got on this podcast. I heard about it, but I knew it was real, but it wasn't like, oh, let me look into it. You know, I'd hear what it means and stuff. Well, that's interesting. You know, see,
mm-hmm. you're not really talking about a lot of astrology in the gym. You know what I'm saying?
One of our past guests, he's older. He's 70. Remember, Greg was like, I wrote a book about working out with the signs because he was going to the gym for so many years and he started to notice how certain people had different personality types. And he's like, oh, then he started to correlate their signs to how they were acting. I'm like, it's so interesting. He has two, you know, his moon and his sun sign are both air signs. So it's like, makes sense. But he's so powerful with his words. And then his fire sign rising is like, pushes it through. It's just like, oh yeah, it makes so much sense.
Makes sense to me too. I didn't know what I was doing. Shit, I tell you that much. I didn't know 5 years ago I was doing this. Like I was just talking to that Greg dude today, actually. And he's like, yep, I'm gonna take a vacation and I'm gonna do 4 hours of work on my business. And then the rest relax. But I can't focus on my business because I want to try to uphold my professional persona at Lifetime as a trainer. So I can't be, if I don't have that obligation to uphold my professional life, then I can really focus on myself. So he's taking a vacation to take the time to, you know, invest into himself. You have to be able to prioritize your time for that, to be able to do, you know, whatever, build a dream life or research something, you know, or practice your craft or break something down. You know, time management is everything. Health first, then time management.
Got to tap into that earthly structure, because that's structure, earth,
there you go.
And while we're on the topic of the gym, I think a lot of people, myself included, before I met Keem, I wasn't ever like, I didn't really care about what my body looks like, or I wasn't really in the gym or working out. And so then I started to realize, I'm like, mind, body, spirit, they're all three together. So I was good at the mind and the spirit, but I'm like, your body is also important. You have to take care of your vessel if you want to really feel the power of source energy flowing through you, because it clears the pathway for downloads and just more clarity in the direction you're going with your vision. And how do you combine all three in your personal life?
Mind, body, and spirit?
Yes.
Oh, man, great question. I combine them by having one service the other continuously throughout my day. So like, you know, I mean that by when I'm in a gym, I'm listening to motivational things. I'm listening to audiobooks. So I'm exercising my mind and my body simultaneously. Spiritually, I tend to always gravitate towards any type of spirituality that creates intrigue or makes me want to think. It's not just a feeling, it's a thinking. So I tend to have them moving simultaneously or servicing each other, and when I find myself spending too much time on just one, I can tell. Like if I'm in the gym too much and I'm not praying, not meditating, and not reading, body looks great. I don't feel mentally sharp as much as I normally would if I was, you know, working my brain muscle. But then I'm in my spiritual oneness and I'm fasting, and then, you know, I'm not really exercising or like, you know, maintaining a vessel. Then I feel my muscle mass, and I know there's a sweet spot. You know how when you play in a video game, you create a character, you have to like, okay, I want more this, more da da da. And sometimes something has to be sacrificed in order to get the other thing. But like, it's like EQ in a great song. When it comes to mind, body, spirit, you can't always have them perfectly aligned or same levels. Sometimes it's going to be more than others, especially if you're in parenting. You may not be able to do certain things because certain responsibilities are required. So you get to EQ it, bring it together. The more balance you have, the better.
That's what I provide to people, with the foundation. And that's, I was just at a summit the other day and I was talking about the foundation in Hudson Yards in Manhattan, the Kinder Foundation, where they implement kindness curriculums in the schools works in prisons, and they've been crushing it. The stories I'm hearing, I'm like, I didn't know kindness was that powerful. All this shit, they're like, whole school systems, like 90 schools in Philly, 180 schools in Austin, like they're just implementing this kindness curriculum to schools, and they got guy leading prisons and shit. And I'm like, I never thought about kindness like that. I never have, you know? And then that's when I thought about, you know, when I said something before, was the difference between nice and being kind.
I felt you on that. I was like, I'm not a nice guy. I'm a kind man.
Right,
you know,
right.
Nice people, I've noticed, when you say, I'm nice, be nice. You know, when you're nice, there's this assumption that even if you're not nice to me, I'm still going to be nice. You know, so I realized that my nice goes right out the window when I'm being treated.
It's like saying sorry too much or I love you too much. You're like overusing your niceness. Like, don't be doing, you do that to everybody. That's just, you just like that. But that's what I'm saying with the mind, body, spirit. I tell in the Choose Yourself community, we all create foundations where it's your nighttime routine plus your preferred amount of sleep plus your morning routine. This is what I've helped coach people on to get them back on track, declutter whatever transition they're going through, relationships, finance, any of that, right? And you take methods to activate your mind, body, spirit between your alarm, you wake up, and before your first obligation to activate your mind, body, and spirit every day. Nighttime routine, sleep, morning routine, no screens, no people, no toxins. At night, you can meditate, journal, stretch, breath work, read. That's what you do 30 minutes before your sleep time. And then when your alarm goes off, you activate your mind, body, spirit. Mind, you want to read or meditate or breath work. Spirit, prayer, gratitude, journal, write something down. And body, stretch, or some physical exercise. You want to do those three things. Make sure you check the box. It don't got to be long. 5 minutes each. 100 push-ups, 2 minute meditation, 5 minute breath work. You check the boxes and you create that frame of mind. And as you, when you're developing your foundation, it's like chopping down the tree and bringing the limbs back and chopping it down. But once you get your foundation set and the fire's ablaze, then you really just got to fan the fire. You ain't got to do gasoline every day, but to build it, to build those habits, you have to go get the wood, chop it down. It's the hardest to get out of bed. It's the hardest to exercise. I'm the most weak. I'm the most tired. I can't prioritize my sleep. I want to stay up. I want to watch the game. All that shit's coming, but eventually it turns into a fire that is momentum. And then as long as you don't fall off for more than like 2 or 3 days, you just got to fan the fire and check the boxes. You know, my fire's, forest fire is lit, but you know, you was talking about the exercise at the gym. I tell people audio plus cardio. Okay, you exercise to GYM, and that's grow your mind. And you exercise at the GYM to grow your body.
Oh, look at that. Boy, you killed that acronym real good.
You were talking about gym.
I was like, wait a minute.
I'm in a gym all day, every day, baby. I'm either exercising or exercising.
Okay, the GYM, grow your mind. Okay. All right. Receive. Good job.
I love
it. But no, you were talking about with the choir. People would come in, you know, in a bad mood from work and they would sing and get an uplift. I see that all the time at the gym, you know, especially in the morning. I go there at 5 a.m. What's the relation between, you know, what happens when you're singing to physiology, physiologically or physically or mentally, whatever the relation is? You know, to fitness impacting your mood like singing does. If you don't think the gym gonna boost your mood, go sit outside the gym and watch how people walk in and watch how they walk out.
How did the source junkie and the gym guy? What is the correlation between? I'm like, I know, did y'all meet in the gym? Like, how did this come together? I'm just curious.
We've never talked about this on the show. It's probably a good.
Oh, I'm gonna ask questions. You think you're the only one to ask a question? I ask questions too.
Well, we're both from the same city, so we have like mutual friends. I think we met in person 5 years ago. He doesn't remember. I remember, but I was also in like a Halloween costume with a wig.
5 years ago was
dark place. But no, so I think we just followed each other on socials at some point. And then he DM'd me on the Source Junkie for like a promo, because that's what I do for people. And then I was like, oh, hey, funny to see you here. And then I was like, I can promote some of your stuff or whatever. I think I posted one of your reels at one point, got like 3 million views. And then we went live. And then a little bit later, he was like, we should start a podcast because you're really good at like the spiritual side. I'm really good at like the physical side. It's like a good combination of feminine and masculine, physical, spiritual. So I'm like, yeah, makes sense. Let's fucking go. So here we are.
Run it.
And when he suggested the podcast, were you in the mindset of even doing that? Or
was I was actually, yeah, I wanted to start a podcast. I was thinking about it for months. And I'm the type of person, I like doing things together with somebody else. Like, I don't ever want to be in the spotlight by myself or whatever. That's why I promote so many other people. I'm like, this is my platform. I'm going to use you. And I go live with people all the time too. And it was funny too. We were both doing it lives on Instagram. We're doing the same shit. So we're like, might as well just come together. But when he suggested doing the podcast, I'm like, yeah, I was thinking about doing one anyway. If you do it with me, then I'll feel secure to have someone building it with me and having someone to bounce ideas off of and whatnot. So I'm like, yeah, let's go. I was already considering it.
So you guys committed through just a suggestion. So once you guys were in the commitment, did you ever like waver from it?
No, we just kept plugging away. It took a while to get started, but
I had a vision that I had that I introduced to her came out, because I went on the show and I told a little bit about my life on the Tom Bernard show that my boy was in the studio with a radio show back home, had a lot of feedback on his freaking radio show. And so I wrote a thank you letter, but I proposed like a season long 12 areas of trauma, as society would call them. I call them character development experiences. 12 of those where I had the experience, you know, what was learned and the characteristics that I still have today. Just 3 bullet points. And it was like losing my brother, you know, only child, you know, parents were addicts, freaking 5 schools. And they all came down to an overall category, which was like grief. You know, parents were addicts, addiction, you know, broken homes. So these are things, and she could relate on if you break it down to the general level. And then I'm like, everybody going through this shit. Let's just do a podcast about the general topics. And so we had those topics and then we just set it up for a year. And I was going to get that shit out one way or another, because when I started talking about stuff to people on that show for the first time, my personal stuff, not just motivational stuff, I started to realize things about my beliefs when I talked about it. When people asked me about it and I talked about it, I realized what I felt about it. But if I didn't talk about it, I would tell myself whatever the fuck I wanted to about it. So I realized the power of talking about it. So then I was like, all right, we're going to do personal discovery and just have people tell their stories. I'm going to tell my story. And it's fucking really help having these conversations and being able to, one, learn about from all these other professionals that, you know, the way I've been doing it is just fine. Because if you don't experience that, you don't hear about it, you don't hear about what's been possible, you don't hear about people overcoming shit that's worse than you, you're going to be in your head, self-doubt. You're going to be caught up in, come help me, life alert, help me, God. You can pray to God, but you still got to get after it, man. He ain't going to give you nothing if you ain't the virgin that's supposed to accept it. You got to be the virgin first.
The painter gets to fit the blessing.
It's been a year now, right? So I think, yeah, we had a 4-year plan.
I think we launched our very first episode in like April. It took us like 6 months to kind of get like our website together and all the back end stuff when it came to emails and whatnot.
You about to launch a podcast, right?
You know what? Not necessarily a podcast, but I have committed to consistency in my craft and building community. Like, takes me to, you know, like I said, the land that I just purchased, thank God. In LA, which is a big deal for me because like the property out here is crazy. So, but I got some land and I was going to, you know, think about building a tiny home or building some 80U or something just to kind of make some profit. I pivoted and I was like, you know what? This needs to be a space for the community, space where people can come. So instead of that, I built a pergola, a stage, I built a cold plunge area and everything like that. And it was just like the idea of having a gathering. I wanted to make Sundays sacred again.
Ooh, I love that.
You know,
In what sense?
Because where I'm from, Sundays were like special. And Sundays were about family. They were about function. They were about food. You always ate good on Sunday. And it was about coming together. And let's be real, I didn't always go to church on Sunday, but we did spiritual activity. Maybe you visited a loved one's grave on Sunday. You played football on Sunday. You watched football. You did these things that were indicative of this holy day that always seemed to attract and gather family. So I'm living on the West Coast now. I'm not necessarily close to my family in proximity, but boy, I got a gift for turning friends into family. Like that's what they call me, Brother Rain, because I do carry a very brotherly vibe and energy. So with HOME, it's a tongue in cheek way of saying it's home.
And it's that's the title of your event space, HOME, right?
Yes, HOME, and it's like it's where the heart is. HOME is where the heart is. That's the title and the events and things that I'm doing there. It's literally focused in on making Sundays sacred, creating sacred spaces, but doing it in a way that's, you know, I don't necessarily believe in type or being an archetype or hippity dippity, but you know, not to be judgmental, but there is a lot of stigma around the conscious community, and it ends up being a lot more toxic. When you get the spiritual elitism, it's like, how refined is your sugar and food? And like, it's like,
like I also dislike that. I see it so much.
Yeah, you start to bang on each other. How spiritual can you? Well, I'm pure. You know, it's like, yo, it's like, okay, look, meet people where they're at.
Yes.
You get all this wealth of information and you can grow that. So I feel like I'm a nice crossroads between Ashe and Amen. There's this beautiful new energy that's being arise. Everybody's not too far left. They're not too far right to where it's just like, it's a nice sweet spot here. Let's roll this. And the music helps it. The types of food helps it. Like I said, we have these catering people in my team that like, they really can cook, and like this gives them a chance to like try and experiment. And the focus is to to nurture the artistry in a non-toxic way. I'm not trying to exploit anybody, but I know a ton of artists. You know, I am one myself. I track what I am. And so I track these really dope, amazing artists. Leah Lakai, she was one of the last ones that performed. She did amazing, got stuff out on Spotify, on platforms. And it's just, she's one of many artists that get to come to HOME and explore their like inner workings. I love that MTV Unplugged feeling, to where you remember back in the day when they would sit and you could really get to know the artist. They could talk in between songs. They could cry if they wanted to. They could get feedback. I mean, it's really blurring the line between audience and stage. So as we're building, of course, you need to raise money, you need to raise funds, and we're setting up things to where we're going to do a fundraiser. And this is all grassroots, self-owned, like self-contained. And so the people that are on my team, my wish list is to raise enough equity to where you don't have to worry about these side hustles, all the things you're doing to kind of make ends meet. Over here, ends is meeting like a mud jumper. You don't have to sacrifice, your livelihood to build a dream. You can have it built. It could be another stream of income with the digital platform. It's something I would love to talk to you guys about at some point offline, how you were able to build your audience and be able to gain revenue from what you're doing. I don't necessarily play around in the digital space as much as I should. I got some jewels over here. I just got to figure out how to give them to the world in a more effective way.
So, my favorite thing to do. Helping people expand, because it's like a great thing to have local community. Like what you're doing with your event space is amazing. I want to come visit. Another thing, when you are local and then you can expand your guidance and your healing and your whatever services you offer worldwide, like we have literally the world in our fingertips. So when you can expand to people outside of your local community through the internet, like hello, Age of Aquarius, that's what it's all about, is a community expansion, digital age, technology, innovations. Like the time is now to reach people and spread the word of our healing and our ideas and our knowledge further than, our physical spaces. And that's what I love about it.
No, I was going to ask you, I was going to switch the whole script on them and ask you about your trigger point. Because I talk about the trigger point. At some point, you got to get done with dealing your own shit. You don't become a healer without being hurt. Because it's hard to heal people if you just learn from a book.
Right.
Because it's not personal. It's not, you don't really interpret what they're saying with empathy.
To answer that question, I don't necessarily consider myself a healer. I teach people how to heal themselves.
Exactly. That's what a healer is.
I don't necessarily... even want to take on that. I have things that I've learned that take care of me. Most of my triggers get revealed within my personal intimate relationships. Like, I don't have a family yet, like my own family. It's something that I aspire to grow simultaneously. Some people are like, oh, let me get my business together and da 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 da. But I love people like Lisa, you have a son, and you're still allowing your dreams and everything. Neither one need to suffer. You can grow things. Some people just tend to either or. Anything building around family and or structuring how to heal family is big for me. I can't say that my triggers are even that prominent anymore. Once upon a time, there was an addiction to porn. Back in the early 2000s, I was like, when porn first came out, I was like, whoa, this is amazing, and like, don't let the smooth taste fool you. I came up in the DVD era, and you had to go embarrass yourself to go get something like that. And that would, it changed that for me, that addiction. When I moved to Los Angeles and I moved to the Valley, and I literally lived down the street where those production studios were. And sometimes you would bump into some of these former at the grocery store. And it was like, imagine pleasuring yourself and then going to the grocery store and seeing that actress, and she got three kids.
That happened to me.
Yeah, that happened to me.
I saw on the train. Yep, I saw on the train.
I was like, wow. Like, this is what I'm giving my energy to energetically. And life was like,
I'm like, what?
It showed myself to me. And she was like, what I saw on the computer, that's not the same. So in onslaught of reality, I said, you know what? Close the laptop. Let me stop. It messed me up. I needed to see the real life version, because the fantasy was attaching that lustful spirit to something that wasn't even real. Like, you know, these people did that 15 years ago or whatever, how many years ago, and you're still attaching to this dead spirit. You're attaching your kundalini to this dead energy. And like, just because we can see it and it can tantalize, it's anchoring to something that's not even real. Because that person, someone should really do a study, what we attach ourselves to, what we believe, how we give our energy to a screen, and then the reality of if that person, place, or thing even exists anymore, you know? To answer your question, those are some of my hangups or triggers or things like that, family, and just overcoming unnecessary addictions.
That's why we're doing the Choose Yourself 25 challenge, y'all. Yeah, no sugar, liquor, weed, porn, nicotine, caffeine, no fried food, no processed food. Give a compliment a day. I ain't never done all that at the same time, but I'm going to do it. Spices are real, man. I was addicted to all those things I just listed at one point in my life. And now it's about the balance, where it's like, you know, 80% healthy, 20% fun, 100% happy. Life can't be redone, but you got to have the systems to replenish and recover. You have to do the work leading up to that fucking cheesecake, sugar, blunt, liquor, and then the systems after. If you're not doing nothing to prepare, if you're not hydrating, eating healthy, you're eating bullshit all week and turning up all weekend, that's not a balance. You know, you have to have the balance to give your body the ability to recover. And you don't want it full of toxins and then go put more toxins in. You want to clean it, keep it pure, and then you can indulge. It's like putting insurance on your body. It's like cleaning, it's like checking the tires in the oil before you go on a mission. And the mission is your gut health, really, because you're putting toxins into your gut. So how many toxins can you put in before that shit snap and now you got cancer at 38? Without flushing it, without letting it rejuvenate itself. If you're doing overload of caffeine and fucking coffee, these fucking drinks and fast food all day, and then, you know, whatever you're doing at night, not sleeping, all those things are taking away from the functionality of your gut. And when that shit goes. So, you know, that's why I got the gut health solution. It flushes and repairs your gut. So it gives you a buffer between your toxins and chronic illness. It gives you a buffer. It's like if you have all these cracks and fissures in your gut, it fills up the cracks and fissures. So when the toxins come in, it's easily flushed out. It doesn't stick to your fucking membrane and cell walls because it's fully nutrient. You get full nutrients in there. And that's, you know, it's been proven to save all kinds of shit. You know, there's a lady who started giving it to her son with autism and the symptoms started changing. You know, my mom started doing it. She fixed her protein level. She ain't had a good night's sleep since my brother died in 2006, and she's sleeping good now. That's crazy. She ain't never slept. She's weaning off her anxiety meds and shit, stuff she's been on most of my life, like changing. And so I pay for her pack every week. And that's the one reason I keep preaching it with so much conviction, because I'm seeing it in the most stubborn, broken. I mean, not broken. She thinks she's broken, but she's been dealing with her addictions for her whole life. And she's just like growing out of them and just coming into happiness. And she's tried so many things before. Therapy, freaking thing. I try to get her on the psychedelics. I try to get her on that. Microdosing. I said, you need to go and get on some mushroom with a healer somewhere and tap into the earth. Because you got all the meds and all that coffee and that news. And honky-donkey husband.
We love to hear that, though. That's so crazy.
But yeah, the gut health is everything, man.
Any more questions for me? I know Alyssa sent me a whole thing of...
I think we got through most of them. I mean, the biggest thing was talking about your event space and your HOME and your community there. Are you going to be hosting retreats there too?
You know what? I do these things where it's like, okay, here's what I want and here's what I can hold down right now. Like, that is the overall goal. The space it's a modest space. It's maybe a quarter of an acre, and I'm building out in the space. And so what I love to do, what I'm focusing in on is I'm a soul gatherer. So I'm gathering the souls, and the more fulfilled, the more rejuvenated these souls are when they leave. Then we can do the big retreat thing. Then we can take that somewhere else, because I don't want my limited amount of space to compromise the vision. So the monthly things, we're doing at Second Sundays. That's something I've committed to to do and consistently do, and it's going to grow. And my intention is to outgrow the space, you know, having a newsletter that keeps you informed about who and where, because the pool of people, that's the one thing about, and you probably noticed too, Hakeem, about the living in a city that's like a major, you get the creme de la creme, you get the best of the best, you get the worst of the worst. And you get to find out and choose where you land amongst those people. So I've been able to gather some of the richest, some of the most refined, some of the most beautiful, heart-centered people I've ever seen. Like I spent so much time just cultivating and polishing my spirit myself, that when I get out there into Venice Beach, when I get out there into the valley, when I get out there to Highland Park, I attract, when I reflect. So I get these amazing types of people, and then I put them all in the same space, because I'm a shapeshifter. Like I, when it comes to artistry, you may catch me on the stage singing my butt off, or you may catch me in the health and wellness space, to where I'm leading the meditation. You know, I did a healthy amount of acting, television and film. I'm an actual visual artist. Like I paint and all that things. So it's like, those are my cloaks that I put on when I go soul gather. When you come to one of our gatherings, you say, such an eclectic, beautiful blend type of people, man. Wow. How? It's because the source person or source people are so multifaceted that you'll get all these different variations, but they all have this common thread of transformation, community, and creativity.
Beautiful. I just have so many friends everywhere that I'm like, I want to meet you in real life. So like, I'm about to get a RV Sprinter van deal and just zip around the country and meet everybody.
I'm looking at your page. I followed you before I met you. I love what you're doing. I love the fact that I was surprised that you were so pretty in person. I was like, okay, you know, it's not even about making it about you. You're really doing a very great job with making people feel seen and heard. And it's not just one type of person, not just, you know, white people or black people or Spanish people. It's a wide variety, kaleidoscope, if you will. And I'm like, that's such a great idea. This is such a great way to be celebrated. I'm celebrated because I celebrate people. That's a great anchoring to your legacy. Your legacy is, I build platforms for people to be seen, felt, and heard.
Ooh, I love that. I need to write that down. Thank you.
Yeah. I build platforms. That's how I sell it. Celebrity is why. Why are you celebrated? Oh, because I can act. Oh, because I've got a big butt. Oh, because, you know, why are you celebrated? And then, like, you know, and when you really sit down and think about, okay, if I want to be a celebrity, why should I be so celebrated? And that is yours, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to trigger you to choose yourself.
Triggers and celebrations.
You know, I tell you, if I hang out with you, when I come to New York, it's a ha-ha. You gotta work on the voice. Yeah. But I almost got you, man. Give me one good week of hanging out. I'll have a great impression of you.
Did you say you're writing a book?
I am. This is a long, I'm writing a book, and I'm also, you know, shooting a 7-episode episodic called I Conversations Volume 2. The book is in correlation to it, and it's basically going a deeper dive into that elemental intelligence we spoke about earlier. I realized that, you know, in order to get into some of these rooms that I managed to be attracted in, it's because I'm water today. I'm da 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 da. I'm moving in the airy space of, I love to teach people how to do that. I love to teach people how to identify some of their superpowers through their elemental understanding, and not in a, you know, overly, you know, euphemistic way, but like, no, really, like legitimately, like I keep plants around because it reminds me of how grounded I have to be in watering them to keep them alive. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like certain things just keep you in that space of being grounded. I can't go away for like 45 days just randomly without having preparation to make my plants grow and stay alive. And so I have to be grounded. And so the I Conversations, which is something I'm very excited about. I did volume one back in 2017. It was live. It was on stage. It was basically a one man show about his relationship with his father. His father pretty much raised him through music. Father didn't speak as much. He had a severe stutter, but he loved music. And so he would make me listen to songs in order to get his point across. And I just did this whole, you know, breakdown of how that, you know, influenced my life. And then now I'm moving into volume two, which is mostly loosely based on the maternal energy. The masculine and feminine is always very prominent in my life. So I did the masculine version. Now the feminine version, I am too, is focused in on those, some of those experiences. Like I said, with sitting in the studio for 14 hours with Dr. Dre and then walking away with nothing, what I thought was nothing, but him wanting to, oh, I like who you are, but I'm not going to sign you. It's like, he literally said, man, I really love your energy. And I was like, so I'm signed? No, maybe not signed. You know, and I have these amazingly weird, not weird, but divine stories from my decade long time here in LA. And like, you know, and I have the video of the moment where I felt like I lost my musical confidence because of that, that time. And then, you know, a mentor, one of the greatest singer-songwriters of all time has built a close relationship with me just out of just the social network we follow. Like Stevie Wonder has been consistently in my life, in and out. He used to do this thing. I don't know if he still does it anymore, but like he would call you early in the morning and let you listen to him practice. We wouldn't even talk. He would talk every now and then, and he would just put it on speakerphone. And for, he loves to have an audience present. And I think the people that he allows to hear him work on things, I felt very special. So I had these moments and like this whole breakdown of the inner workings of artistry through these iconic archetypes. It's not about name dropping. It's more about, okay, you represent a thing in my life. So I'm going to use you as an archetype to find the lesson that I can give to the world. Everything, I'm like, I'm doing really, really, really well. I'm really excited. And I,
what's the best advice you ever got?
When you get, you give. When you learn, you teach. That's the circle of life. I think that came out so quickly because it's, you know, my grandfather, he had on a cigar box, get, give, learn, teach. And I never knew what was, you know, and he spoke it to me, just said, oh, every time you get something, every time the Lord bless you with something, boy, go out there and find somebody that you can bless. You know, he never said pay it forward because, you know, that terminology didn't exist back then. But you find, I saw him do that every time. Every time he, even as when he played the lottery a lot, you know, it was crazy. I don't know. He would win a lot every other week. It was only maybe like, you know, $400-$500 every now and then, but he was really good at it. And I saw him always win, and he would carry his money in a little rubber band. He never had a wallet. I was like, Granddad, that is horribly inefficient. I was a smart ass kid. Why would you get a wallet, Granddad? He said, mind your business. And then he would always take that little wad of money, and he would go out and just kind of like, boom, boom, put little envelopes and give it to certain people. I said, do you owe these people? I said, no, I don't owe them. But when I get, I give. And when I learn, I teach. That's how I maintain that constant flow of good stuff coming to me. That's when I get things. And no matter who you get it from, where you get it from, you don't have to give it back to that same place. You expand. You're going to give it to somebody. And when you learn something, you find somebody that you want to teach it to. And that's the circle. That's the best advice I've ever got. And I've been holding that down for a long time.
That's what you were saying about attracting people. If you're a giver, you attract givers, and eventually you'll be the receiver. But you're a taker, ain't nobody getting nothing. Eventually, ain't nobody getting nothing because you're going to be around all takers.
I love that. Yeah, that was beautiful. Piece. Well, I think we're done with all our questions, and we're excited, though. I'm excited to see how this all expands for you. And how can, do you have an official website yet? Or how can people get in touch with you? Just through your Instagram?
Well, right now I'm going to do Instagram because, like I say, here's a challenge. Because I'm a person, an entity within myself, but then there's this whole entity of, which is the you know, the work, the job, the event space, the practice. So I'll give you both. Like my IG is Reign the Artist, R-E-I-G-N, the Artist. It's not just a name. It's a declaration. The Artist shall reign. You know, the meek shall inherit the earth. That whole idea that artists, starving artists, that's no longer a thing. The artist shall reign. So that's like a double entendre.
I love that.
Very proud of that. So Reign the Artist is my personal IG, and you can find me everywhere, all platforms. And H-O-M-E is spelled A-Y-E underscore C-H-O underscore E-M-I. It's basically spell home, but spell it phonetically. H-O-M-E. That is the event space. That is the hub of if you are an artist or if you're in L.A., and you want to meet some of the dopest, most generous people out here and feel like you're not necessarily just in L.A., this is where you can find us. And this way you can keep us abreast of our events and newsletter and all the stuff we got going.
We'll make sure to get all that in the show notes. So if you didn't catch the spelling, it will be below. So make sure you check that out and follow Rain. He's great. Thank you so much for coming on. This was a great conversation and I appreciate it.
We killed it. Give it up for us. Give it up for us.
Trust it, y'all. Yes, sir. Get in.
Before you let me go, I just want to speak some life into you guys' podcast. I know that I'm a guy, but I'm part of my gift is prophesizing. In the midst of this conversation, I saw huge, huge, huge followings of what's going on here. I saw many opportunities for you two. I saw you guys standing on a stage together and actually doing live podcasts in places, and people are actually involved physically with you having conversations. I also saw pop-up workouts with Akeem in people like gathering, hey, meet me here. And this is part of the soul thing. I see the I'm just speaking life over what I saw in my mind so that it can be heard in agreement with the people whose ears it lands on. So with great power comes great responsibility. So as you grow this from the soil up, understand keeping your soul fresh and free of debris, the challenge and the quest that you're going to have on you, because this is going to have a lot of energy around it. So the fire and the air and the energy and the earth and the water, maintain the garden of this space because it's sacred. And so it is.
Thank you.
I got me amped.
So me too. I'm like fuzzy. My body's warm.
I literally saw it, but I didn't really understand what it was, but I could see your chemistry is very juxtaposition, is very yin yangy. That's the thing. Y'all got to maintain your relationship. It has to be pure. It has to be, you know, y'all have to meet up every now and then, actually put hands and connect and hug and actually get into each other's space. Yeah, this is very unique, you know, that you have. And like, I don't necessarily do too many people's podcasts because people mess up your words and you may say the wrong thing now all of a sudden, you know. So I'm very choosy about which podcast I choose to do. But we actually hung out. Mm-hmm. We actually hung out in New Orleans and actually I got to see and connect and everything, and I was like, okay, these are good people, these are fun people, and this is, out of all the people that I know in that city, these are the ones that treated me the most kind and like the most I felt safe with you guys. And so keep that in this, the way you made me feel in New Orleans, where it's like, oh, bumped into each other, oh, let's go together, oh, here's a drink, yeah. Oh, let me make sure that, you know, that's how you guys do your guests. You don't have to be partying, make them feel just like that. Oh, you hungry? Let's go eat. I got you. Blah, 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 blah. You took care of me until I got tired. I was like, I'm going home. I was like, y'all want to go hard. I'm sleepy. But you guys made me feel. Yeah. You guys make me feel very cared for and protected. Almost very paternal. Mama, daddy energy. No Diddy. But you know, no need for that, but like, you guys, that's how you get to take care of your guests, make them feel that energy to where it's like, and you can take turns giving your input as much, but like, that's how it felt. You had very paternal energy, you had very maternal energy, and I felt very covered and safe.
Cute.
Hey, man. Thank you. That shit was fun.
All right, folks. Well, if you're listening to this episode, make sure you give us a rating if you enjoyed this, and make sure you follow Rain and look for all of his upcoming things that he has coming out. And we'll make sure that we are going to be blasting this on all the socials with all the videos. And we just appreciate you so much. So thank you so much for coming on.
All right, y'all. Keep the gratitude in your attitude, my man Rain. I'm inspired now. I'm about to go start my singing. I'm about to go sing in the shower.